many people have gone or are going to McMaster, so maybe we'll make it short today. Let's see how the how the audience evolves. And I know Andre is going to try to be on the 2 o'clock bus to McMaster. So okay, so let me review. So it's been a little while since we met, so let me review a little bit. Let me also say that I think, as far as I know, Gregoire Lopère is going to talk on Thursday about the smoothness, Caffarelli's C1 alpha argument in the Monge-Ampère second boundary value problem, the one that comes up in mass transport. So so this is always true. Well, this is true in great generality anyway. And in fact, we expect equality here. And right, so so I get into trouble when I try to put exact hypotheses, but let's see. I guess probably C should be a lower semi-continuous function. And so C lower semi-continuous, and let me tell you some things that are, I guess, enough. C lower semi-continuous. There exist U and V such that the negative, such that integral of U d mu is bigger than minus infinity, and integral of V d nu is bigger than minus infinity. And u of x plus v of y is less than cxy. So something like this we want. And so satisfy this inequality. Borel, U and V. Yes. And so this has another virtue that as soon as you have such U and V, so that the negative parts of U and V are integrable, then an equivalent problem to this one here, in fact, let's call this U naught and V naught. Then it's equivalent. Because somehow the marginals of gamma are constrained, and so adding these, subtracting these things from the cost don't affect anything. And so, that in other words, it means that I can, and now the cost is non-negative. And so I have no trouble defining this integral then. Sure. Right. Right-hand side is what?
Right-hand side is not clear than zero.
Yeah, and it's clearly less than zero because this integral here, I can replace the integration against mu and nu with integration against gamma in both places. And so it's clearly less than zero, and by taking both u and v equal to zero, it becomes equal to zero. Other questions? So now let's make some hypotheses. Let's assume and for simplicity, so I want this to be a compact set. And at some point, I will also want mu absolutely continuous with respect to Lebesgue measure. And so what we checked last meeting was that first of all, well, the zeroth proposition was that if I define uc of y to be the nth of c of xy minus u of x, then this is a Lipschitz function and in fact the supernorm of its gradient is controlled by the supernorm of the gradient of the cost. And this maximum over here is attained. So we were able to use this Lipschitz condition and the Ascoli-Arzelà theorem to construct a maximizing sequence by a pair, which were conjugate to each other. So this was v conjugate and this was u conjugate, where u conjugate is defined this way and v conjugate is defined similarly, except interchanging x and y. And right. And second, and in addition, so from this formula, it follows that this is always non-negative on x cross y. But moreover, we had a lemma that said, if I have a point of differentiability of u, then equality holds here. And only if the gradient of h at x minus y minus the gradient u of x equals 0. And you can invert this to get a formula, so that's equivalent to, i.e., y is equal to fu of x where f u of x is x minus gradient h inverse gradient of u. Right, so there was this necessary and sufficient condition here for equality to hold in this integrand, at least at those points where gradient u is differentiable. And so right, and then the last, the sort of the hard thing that we checked. So this was a lemma that we had, and the theorem that I ended with was that so this condition here, by the way, implies that u is its own second transform, because v is the transform of u and u is vc. And so the claim was that if we take a maximizer and with hypothesis 3, then we check that actually this mapping here which is defined it's defined almost everywhere. It's defined on the set of points where u is differentiable. Actually pushes forward mu to nu. And this was this little this variational argument that I did by looking at a perturbation of the right hand side using an arbitrary continuous test function and checking what using this formula here, checking that a perturbation of the right-hand side by any test function leads to an Euler Lagrange equation, which basically says that this measure here is the same as mu. So that was where we got to last lecture. And so I should say some more things. So what did I want to do today? What did I want to start with today? I wanted to say that if I'm in this situation here, then I have a minimizer for the problem on the right-hand side. So, FU solves Monge's problem. And equality holds at the top. So if I call this I and this J, sometimes it's called duality holds. I equals J. And so I wanted to say that. I wanted to say uniqueness. So this is optimality. Uniqueness. Monge's problem. has only one solution. And there's a second aspect of this uniqueness, which is that if I have two maps of this form, with different functions u and u tilde, then these guys have to agree almost everywhere. Yes. Okay, so Monge's problem is minimize integral of C fx d mu among maps. Maybe I'll call these maps G. Which push mu forward to nu. Right, so it's a more restricted version of Kantorovich's problem, in which instead of looking for joint measures with prescribed marginals, I insist that the joint measure is such that I can only pair each source point with a single destination. And so I can, in other words, I can build a mapping G of X. Other questions? Is it clear? Yeah. So somehow where we got to in 3 was to say, actually, we have a map that does this. And so the next thing I want to check is actually it gives a minimum in this. And this is actually very easy. So let's do the proof of 4. Right, so what do I know? I know that for every given any gamma with the correct marginals, and and a proper function which is its own second transform, I know that C of xy is bigger than u of x plus uc of y. And I know that since I'm not minus infinity and I'm working on these compact sets, and I had a Lipschitz control on this thing, this is a Lipschitz function, and this thing, because it's also a C transform, is a Lipschitz function. And I have compactly supported measures, mu and nu. So gamma is a measure which is compactly supported in the product space. And so I can integrate this against gamma. This is a function of one variable only, so when I integrate it against gamma, the marginal condition tells me that this is integral u d mu plus integral v d nu. And since this is true for all such gamma and all such u's, I have that the inf of this thing is bigger than this, and I can take a supremum over all such u's. And I know that this inf is equal to I, and I know that this this souped, let's call it J. Even J tilde. And so all I need to do is, if I produce a case of equality here, then I found that I equals J tilde. So so on the other hand, taking this particular U from 3, I have that implies, first of all, fu pushes forward mu to nu, which implies that identity cross fu push forward mu belongs to this set of joint measures with these marginals. And I also have, from this condition here, from the if and only if part here, that and in particular, fu must be defined mu almost everywhere, since this is a measure of mass 1 and this is a measure of mass 1. So I also get that mu of and so let me integrate this against mu. And I can use this fact here to rewrite this integral at, since this is a composition of a function with f of u against mu, I can rewrite it as the integral of this function against nu. And similarly, if I define gamma u this way, then I can rewrite this integral here as an integral so this thing here is less than J tilde, and this thing here is bigger than I. And so now I've got that I is less than J tilde, but on the other hand, here I had that J tilde was less than I. And so the conclusion has to be that in particular, the equality here says that gamma u must actually be a minimizer, since I was defined as the infimum, i.e. And since this gamma u is actually concentrated on the graph of the mapping fu, fu minimizes Monge. Now this J up here is only taken over a larger set than the one that led to J tilde, but this J is also less than I. And this, so this J gets sandwiched between J is bigger than J tilde and less than I. And since this thing equals this thing, equalities hold right here as well. And other questions? Max. Right. F is defined only where grad, well, here's the formula for F. Another way to see that is that U is VC, and so it's a Lipschitz function, and so it's differentiable almost everywhere. And so that's where we're using this hypothesis here. So we use this hypothesis in order to show to show this statement up here. And so I guess that it's no problem. So I didn't probably say this quite right in the sense that seeing that up there is no problem. But I also have to worry that, grad U is defined almost everywhere in mu. But is grad H inverse actually defined on all of those points grad U? So maybe I should have really said mu of the set where FU is defined is equal to 1. Sure, that's true. But also, mu of domain of FU is equal to 1. And so that actually, you need both things. Because it's possible that gradient of H, even though it's 1 to 1, may not be onto. And it's a property of being a C transform that actually gradient H, it may not be onto, but grad U lies in the image of gradient H, and so I can do the inversion.
So for the theorem 4, these two things are really the condition for the theorem 4. We require that FU plus mu into V, and so it's
right.
So both these statements really fit in there.
Exactly. And we check that they're both true last time when you take the maximizing pair of for this problem, which are conjugate to each other. Other questions? So uniqueness. So somehow it's going to be the same. It's the same ingredients are coming over and over. All of these things essentially follow from the same thing. So somehow uniqueness is going to come from this lemma 2 again. Has the same cost as gamma U. And so I want to check that this is going to force G to be equal to FU almost everywhere. So integral C and right, where this U here is the one that U was used to construct FU and gamma U. And so this is also, since G pushes mu forward to nu, this is also Ux. And I can rewrite this integral as Uc of G of x d mu. So bringing all the terms over to the same side, I get but the integrand is non-negative, and so it must, and mu is non-negative, and so it must vanish mu almost everywhere. Again, U is a Lipschitz function, so it's also true that mu of the set where U is differentiable equals 1, and so mu of the intersection of these two sets equals 1. For x and z intersect domain grad u, I have a quality here, and I'm also in the set where I can apply proposition 2, and so that tells me that lemma 2 implies a quality holds if and only if g, y, which is g of x, is equal to f u of x. But this is a set of full measure. And so that's the proof that Monge's problem has a unique solution. Is it clear? And there's the second sort of characterization, which is not only is the solution of Monge's problem unique, but there's only one map. So this is a uniqueness statement that has nothing to do with the variational problem. It just says any time you have a function which is its own second C transform, and the formula which is under here, x minus grad h inverse of grad u tilde pushes mu forward to the same thing as x minus grad h inverse of grad u, then these two maps agree mu almost everywhere. And so this is the thing that allows you to say, for example, if I have a convex function and its gradient pushes mu forward to nu, then it's the unique solution of Monge's problem. And So 6 is actually a consequence of 4 and 5, right? So according to 4, both fu and fu tilde minimize Monge's problem. Therefore, fu equals fu tilde mu almost everywhere, according to 5. And so I dropped point, there's a 0.7 here, which I haven't written down yet, which we will presently want. So it's sort of nice to know that this map, that if so far our hypotheses were a little bit asymmetrical because we only assumed that one of the measures, mu, was absolutely continuous with respect to Lebesgue. So it could be that the second measure is a Dirac measure, in which case the mapping F is going to be a constant. It's going to collapse everything to a single point. And but it's nice to know that when both measures are absolutely continuous with respect to Lebesgue, the mapping F is actually invertible. And so, in other words, if you reverse the measures and instead of transporting mu onto nu, you try to transport nu onto mu, you get an optimal map, and it's actually, in some sense, the inverse map of this fu. And this should hold new almost everywhere. And this formula should hold new almost everywhere. And possibly I only need this hypothesis for the second conclusion, that maybe the first one follows without it. And I can sort of be even more explicit about what the set is, what the set of full measure is on which it holds, i.e., for all y in the set, first of all, I want... I certainly want y to be a point where... UC is differentiable, and secondly, I need, something like this. Maybe it should be FUC inverse. So first, I want a point where grad UC is differentiable, so this thing is defined. And secondly, I want this whole thing to be a point where U is differentiable. And so that's what the second condition tells me. And my claim is that this is a set of full maps for nu. And similarly, and this also is a consequence of lemma 2. So basically, again, it's this property that fu pushes mu forward to nu, which implies that FU inverse of mu this is true because UC is Lipschitz and nu is absolutely continuous with respect to Lebesgue, and then because I have this, that implies that mu of F inverse of the points where UC is differentiable is equal to 1. And so this is a set of full mass, and this is also a set of full mass because U is Lipschitz, and mu is absolutely continuous with respect to Lebesgue. And so now I want to check, I guess, that this holds. And so for such x, for x in this set, for such x, we have right, this is true because I'm in the domain of grad U by lemma 2. Of course, U is also its own second C transform. And and then lemma 2 in one direction, I guess in this direction, this is equal to UCCX plus UCFU of X. And now applying lemma 2 again, since I have equality here, this tells me that lemma 2 in the other direction tells me that this thing must actually be FUC of FU. Right? It tells me that X has to be equal to FUC of Y, where Y is FU of X. And that's true because using the fact that FU of X is in domain of grad UC. And that completes this thing here. And finally, I want to sort of set things up so that they're symmetrical. And so the other direction, follows by symmetry. As soon as we deduce so I'm going to use the thing I know together with the thing that I just checked to show that the map corresponding to UC pushes the second measure forward to the first measure. Do this by checking, by using a test function, by integrating an arbitrary test function against this measure here, and using this relationship to realize that the integral of any test function against this measure here is the same as the integral of that test function against mu. And so, so for every, I don't know, let's say continuous. integral of phi of y d with respect to this measure here of y. The definition of this measure says that that's equal to phi of fuc of x. Let me call this z rather. Y d nu of y. And on the other hand, I know that nu can be written this way. So this is also d fu push forward mu. And so using the same change of variables formula again, that's integral of c of fuc fu of x mu of x. And using the fact that this composition here is x mu almost everywhere, by this thing here, 7b. And since this is an arbitrary test function, the Riesz theorem tells me that this measure must coincide with this measure. And now I'm in a position to do the same argument that I did before. First, this condition here tells me that this is a set of full measure with respect to y. And then the argument using lemma 2 will tell me that, that this is actually, this equality holds true on this set. Okay. So what's the prevailing sense? Is anyone here actually still planning to go to McMaster, or are you all here for the duration? Okay, so let's take a 5-minute break, and I'll do whatever I have afterwards. You're asking... Okay, this is a set of full mass, right?
Yes, that's fine.
But nu is equal to this. So nu of any set is equal to mu of fu inverse of that set.
Oh my god.
In particular, this set.